Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at something really quite striking, a health puzzle focused on Northern Scotland.
That's right. We've got some fascinating research pointing to a surprisingly high prevalence of Huntington's disease there.
Yeah, the numbers are quite something. About, what, 14.5 cases per 100,000 people?
Exactly. And when you compare that to the global average, which is around 2.7 per 100,000, well, it's over 5 times higher.
Wow. That's not just random chance, clearly. Something specific is going on.
And the sources you sent over the genetic studies, the epidemiology, and looking at the region's history, they really start to build a picture.
So our mission today is to sort of unpack that. Why? Why this big difference in this particular region? Connecting the genetics and the history.
Precisely.
Okay, so first things first. For anyone maybe less familiar, Huntington's disease. Can you give us the quick version?
Sure. Think of it as an inherited condition passed down through families. It primarily affects the brain, specifically nerve cells.
And that leads to problems with...
Well, it causes a range of symptoms. Often issues with movement. You might hear the term chorea, those involuntary movements. But also cognitive decline, changes in thinking, and psychiatric issues like mood changes or depression.
And it's genetic, you said. Inherited.
Yes. It's what we call autosomal dominant. Which basically means you only need to inherit one copy of the altered gene from one parent to develop the condition.
Right. And this altered gene, it involves these repeating bits of DNA, doesn't it? Like a kind of genetic stutter.
That's a good way to put it. Inside a specific gene, the HTT gene, there's a sequence of DNA letters, CAG, that repeats.
Okay.
In most people, this CAG section repeats, say, 26 times or fewer. That's considered normal. But in Huntington's disease, this section expands. It repeats many more times.
And the number of repeats matters.
Very much so. There's a sort of gray area, maybe 27 to 35 repeats called intermediate. Then 36 to 39, that gives a reduced chance or later onset. But once you get to 40 or more repeats, it almost certainly leads to Huntington's.
And really high numbers, like over 60.
That's often associated with a much earlier onset, sometimes even in childhood or adolescence, what's called juvenile Huntington's.
And there's this thing called anticipation too, right? Where it gets worse in later generations.
Yes. The repeat number isn't always stable when passed on. It can sometimes expand further, especially when inherited from the father. This can lead to earlier onset or more severe symptoms in the next generation.
Okay, got it. So globally, where does this usually occur? Is it evenly spread?
Not really.
Yeah.
It's generally more common in populations with European ancestry, less common in people of East Asian or African descent.
And the UK average, you mentioned Northern Scotland was high.
Yeah, the UK average is roughly 12 per 100,000. So that 14.5 in Northern Scotland, specifically areas like Grampian Highland, Orkney, Shetland, the Western Isles, is significantly elevated even within the UK context.
Right. And the data shows diagnoses have increased since the 80s. Is the disease becoming more common or are we just better at finding it?
That's a key point. Improved diagnostic tools, genetic testing becoming available, that definitely plays a big role in identifying more cases. We're seeing the cases that were likely already there.
But there's more to it than just diagnosis, right? There's this idea of a hidden burden.
Absolutely. We have people who carry the gene expansion, but haven't developed symptoms yet. They're pre-symptomatic. And then there are many more people who know they have a 50% risk, like children of an affected parent, but haven't been tested.
And in Northern Scotland, that number is estimated to be pretty high.
Yes, the estimates suggest around 45 individuals per 100,000 might be at risk, which is, well, it's more than 4 times the number of people who actually have manifest symptoms, a 4.4 to 1 ratio, roughly.
So what's the leading explanation for this concentration in Northern Scotland? Is it environmental?
The strongest evidence really points towards genetics and population history, specifically something called a founder effect.
A founder effect. Okay, explain that.
Imagine a small group of people, the founders, break off from a larger population and start a new settlement somewhere isolated. Just by chance, the genes in that small founding group might not perfectly represent the original population.
Right, like grabbing a small handful of marbles from a big jar, you might happen to get more reds just by luck.
Exactly. So if one of those founders happened to carry a rare gene variant, like the Huntington's mutation, that variant could be much more common in the new isolated community than it was back in the original population. And over generations, especially if the community stays isolated, that gene variant can become quite prevalent.
And Northern Scotland, historically?
Yeah.
Well, it fits that picture, doesn't it? The highlands, the islands. Geographical isolation seems likely.
Absolutely. Think about the settlement patterns over centuries. Picts, Gales, Vikings settling in specific areas. The landscape itself creates natural barriers. The islands especially remain quite isolated for long periods.
And we see genetic evidence of that isolation beyond Huntington's, too.
We do. Studies looking at the genetics of people in the Northern Isles, for example, show patterns like reduced genetic diversity and evidence of founder effects for other conditions, too, like certain BRCA mutations linked to cancer risk. It suggests these populations were genetically distinct.
Okay, so how does this connect specifically to Huntington's there? Is there direct evidence?
Yes. There are historical accounts describing clusters of families affected by symptoms consistent with Huntington's disease, rooted in these regions for generations. And then there's the molecular evidence.
The specific gene variants.
Right. When researchers looked at the HTT gene in people with Huntington's from northern Scotland, they found that specific genetic backgrounds or haplotypes on which the CAG expansion occurred are very common.
Like a genetic fingerprint.
Sort of. Certain haplotypes, known as A1 and A2, seem more prone to instability and expansion. And in the northern Scottish HD population, the A1 haplotype is found in a very high proportion, around 64% of cases. This strongly suggests the mutation often arose, or at least persisted and spread, on this specific genetic background, likely tracing back to common ancestors or founders.
Interesting. And I think the research mentions slight differences even within northern Scotland.
That's right. For instance, the average number of CAG repeats might be slightly higher in the Highland region compared to Grampian. It's subtle, but it could hint at maybe slightly different founding events in different isolated areas or perhaps just some divergence over time.
So putting it all together, the story seems to be a founder effect, probably multiple related instances occurring in these historically isolated communities in northern Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
This amplified an existing HTT mutation, possibly one that was already on a haplotype background like A1, making it more prone to expansion.
Exactly. That seems to be the core explanation. And then perhaps ongoing contributions from new mutations arising from those intermediate alleles we mentioned, which might also be more frequent there. Plus, of course, the impact of better diagnosis revealing the true scale.
It paints a really clear picture of how history, geography, and genetics intertwine, a compelling case study.
It really is. And it underscores the importance of the research happening in Scotland, places like the University of Aberdeen, and the support provided by the Scottish Huntington's Association. They're crucial for understanding and managing the condition there.
Definitely. It leaves you thinking, doesn't it? Where else in the world might we see similar patterns, other isolated populations, other genetic conditions where history has left such a distinct mark on health outcomes? Something to ponder.
Fascinating thought.
Thanks for breaking that down for us. A really insightful deep dive.